Coming up on this week's book show, Jason Mott's hell of a book won the National Book Award this year. It is an astounding work of fiction where a black author sets out on a publicity tour to promote his best-selling novel. The book is honest, funny, and goes to the heart of racism, police violence, and the hidden costs exacted upon black Americans. Jason Mott on this week's book show. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. In Jason Mott's hell of a book, a black author sets out on a cross-country publicity tour to promote his best-selling novel. That storyline drives hell of a book, and it is the scaffolding of something much larger and much more urgent. Mott's novel also tells the story of Soot, a young black boy living in a rural town in the recent past, and The Kid, a possibly imaginary child who appears to the author on his tour. The book won the National Book Award in 2021. It is an astounding work of fiction. It certainly goes to the heart of racism, police violence, and the hidden costs exacted upon black Americans and America as a whole. Jason Mott has published four novels. His first novel, The Returned, was a New York Times bestseller, turned into a TV series that ran for two seasons. It's a great pleasure to welcome Jason Mott to The Book Show. Thank you very much for being with us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I have been raving about this book for months and talking about how it's the best thing that I've read just maybe in decades. It is a beautiful, weird book to describe to anybody. I find that just so wonderful and challenging because you've really come to something here that is difficult to describe and yet is so exacting in what its goal is.
I'm glad to hear that reaction. Like, I love the fact that people have trouble describing the book, because that was kind of how it was structured. Like, I wanted it to be a very strange bird, is kind of how I described it a lot of the time when I was working on it. I said I wanted it to be a very strange bird, and it seems to be the reaction people are getting from it.
So let us go first to the National Book Award, which you received in November. You, in your acceptance speech, you said, "I'd like to dedicate this award to all the other mad kids, to all the outsiders, the weirdos, the bullied, the ones so strange that they had no choice but to be misunderstood by the world and by those around them. This award is dedicated to the ones who, in spite of this, refuse to outgrow their imagination, refuse to abandon their dreams, and refuse to deny, diminish their identity or their truth or their loves, unlike so many others." And I should note that the book is for all the other mad kids. Give us a sense of how that fits into this novel and the story that you're telling.
Yeah, the mad kids component kind of goes to a lot of how I saw my childhood and kind of still how I see my adulthood, of this being, you know, this person who never really fit in growing up and who eventually turned into an adult who never really fit in, who still has that awkward little weird kid inside of him. And that's a lot of what the novel tries to talk about. You know, you've got this character named the author simply, and he encounters the kid. And like, as you read the novel, there's a lot of blurring of the lines over whether or not the author and the kid and even Soot, like how their stories overlap. Do they actually overlap? Are they truly separate? Are they the same character somehow? There's a lot of playing with that. And you know, that was very intentional. Like, I wanted to create this space where this idea of this mad kid who possibly grew into a mad adult, and how those two reconcile each other and how those lives kind of reconcile.
From my understanding, the seeds of this go back almost a decade when you were doing the book tour for The Returned.
Yes, for certain. The Returned was, I went from answering phones at a call center and kind of hating life in general to, having a pretty big book deal and being a best-selling author and having a TV show developed for my book. And all these, it was just such a sudden change. And then I was on the road for The Returned for that book tour about a month and a half, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, somewhere around there. And it was just this constant travel, constant going, constantly talking about the book. And it was very strange and funny and weird. And when I finished it, I said, I really want to write a book about this. I think it's the weirdest experience. I think people would love to hear about it. And I never really, my agent was never really excited. My editor was never really excited about that idea. So it kept getting put on the back burner for a few years. And then you fast forward, almost a decade. And that same kind of kernel grew into Hell of a Book.
And then your life and the world take over a little bit where there are these tragic police shootings of black men. You're looking at your own life. And then they start to seep into what was a more comedic story. And then we now have this incredible balance that you have created for us of a very funny book that is obviously hitting the mark on some really serious tragic issues.
Thanks. It began with this comedic story of an author on book tour, and then around the time of the Freddie Gray situation in Baltimore, I have a friend from college who lives in Baltimore, and he and I were on the phone with each other every morning for about 2 or 3 weeks. We were just updating each other on the Baltimore situation because there were the riots in Baltimore, and I was kind of checking to be sure that he was safe. And we were talking about Freddie Gray and all the other incidences that were occurring, some that were still happening that weren't even making the news because the Freddie Gray incident was kind of dominating the news so much that there were other shootings and, moments of police violence that were happening that were not getting traction because, you had such a big one occurring. And as we continued to talk about this for weeks, it became really overwhelming, quite frankly, and I felt myself kind of getting swallowed up by it. And my friend, being a pretty smart guy that he is, he said, you should write about this. Like, you're a writer, and it's obviously pressing on you. Why don't you write something about it? And I started writing just thoughts and notes and memories about the black experience in America. And then I remembered the author on book tour story and combined the two together, and Hell of a Book was born.
As you mentioned, the author is known as the author. In fact, there's a time where you say, my name is, and then there's just a blank. So obviously conscious. Did you ever fill in that blank? Was there ever a moment where you thought, okay, maybe we will use a name here?
I did. There was an early draft, maybe around the second or third draft, where I gave the character a name because I was worried, because I had tried this, before with previous editors and previous writing projects, characters that didn't have names. And one thing I kind of heard kind of resoundingly was, readers need characters that have names. And so there was a moment where I kind of lost confidence in this idea of not having a name, and I gave the character a name and immediately hated it. Like, as soon as I did it, I knew that it was a bad decision because it just narrowed the story's scope and it just constricted the story in a way that I did not like. So I took the character's name away and I said, for better or worse, I'm not ever going to name this character, and come what may, we'll see how it plays out. So yeah, it was a very conscious decision.
The idea of that nothing is really as it seems, or you're never really quite sure as to what is real and what isn't real, and the brilliance of that in your writing is the attributes that you give these characters. So early on, we realize that the author self-describes himself as a daydreamer and says that he's diagnosed as that. And these are times where he goes off and goes to different places. So for us, the reader, sometimes we don't know where he is, if he's daydreaming this or this is actually happening. Also, in the character of Soot, Soot is ultimately trying to disappear, is trying to vanish from the world around because of of the difficulties he's having. So there's a lot of alternative reality that is baked into this of characters who are trying to get away from whatever reality is and yet explore what that reality is.
Yeah, and that is very much rooted in both my real life and also just my creative kind of journey. Like, I grew up reading a lot of mythology and folklore, and I loved stories of that ilk. I love stories where, you know, fantastic things could happen. I grew into a young writer as someone who loved magical realism and high concept stories, you know, things like that. And then when you look at my first three novels, they're all sort of magical realism, high concept. They all exist in this place where reality is turned on its ear just a little bit. But for this one, I really wanted to embrace the imaginative component and the absurdist component, like the silliness, and fold those into a conversation about something that was very difficult, and a conversation that was to be held in a way that I wanted to have it. You know, one thing I tell people, like, the topics in this novel are not new. The subject matter is not new. It's one of the things where, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And I truly believe that about this novel. But I think what the novel does that is different is it approaches a familiar conversation in a very unfamiliar and unexpected way. And I think that's what people are responding to. Like, the discussion of police violence and the Black experience in America through the lens of absurdism and extreme imagination, I can't think of many other authors who have done that.
Right.
I'm sure there are. So I think for me, that was a big part of it.
So you have this imaginative quality. You have the question of what is real, what's really happening sometimes. And then the author will talk to us, or a character will talk to us. And I'm just going to read one part of you say, I'm not sure Black people can be happy in this world. There's just too much of a backstory of sadness that's always clawing at their heels. And no matter how hard you try to outrun it, life always comes through with those reminders, letting you know that more than anything, you're just a part of an exploited people and a denied destiny. And all you can do is hate your past and, by proxy, hate yourself. So that is so powerful. And it's such a dash of we are in reality then. And it's so striking. It's also, I mean, rightfully angry, which is great, because the characters aren't overly angry, are they?
No, the characters are rarely, I mean, there are definitely some characters in the novel who are angry.
Yeah.
But the main character, the author in particular, like, he's too busy kind of fumbling his way through life to be angry about things. And his imagination, his detachment from his anger is part of his survival mechanism. It's kind of how he exists to keep from going mad, like he talks about that a little bit. And so he oftentimes will express things that, you know, are all very arguable points. Like, there's different versions of truth that are argued to in this novel and argued against in this novel. And I think that line in particular is one that, you know, there are plenty of people who, you know, plenty of Black people who are happy and who don't feel quite as dogged by the past as the character in this story does. But then I think there also are plenty that do. And so having a space where both of those conversations happen was really important to me.
I mean, you say at one point in the book, laugh all you want, but I think learning to love yourself in a country where you're told that you're a plague on the economy, that you're nothing but a prisoner in the making, that your life can be taken away from you at any moment, and there's nothing you can do about it. Learning to love yourself in the middle of that hell, that's a goddamn miracle. That is, for you, in writing that, is that freeing in a way? I mean, is that a moment where you think to yourself that all of the skills that you use to tell the story are even put aside so you can get to those greater truths that you want to explore?
Yeah, for me, that moment in particular was a very cathartic moment. I think that the idea of loving myself in America, you know, as a Black person in America, and learning to love myself is something that I still struggle with. I've definitely gotten better at as the years have passed, but it's something that is a daily challenge. Like, it is the Black experience is not portrayed as the American experience. It is oftentimes, I would almost say nearly always, portrayed as this lesser tragic experience. And there is, by God, there's tragedy in the experience. but it is never giving the exaltation that a lot of other experiences and a lot of other, you know, demographics are given. And so you have to find your way to self-love through that. And it's a very challenging thing to do.
Jason Mott is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the novel is Hell of a Book. It is published by Dutton and did receive the 2021 National Book Award. What was that night like?
That was a very bizarre, awesome night. I'm not sure how long of a story you want, but it was a very strange night all in all. I definitely did not expect to win. Like I was, as we're sitting there, and they finally got to my category, you know, we're all in these different little Zoom green rooms and you're sitting there waiting. And as they're discussing the books, like in my mind, I was already drafting my apology tweet where I was going to go on Facebook and telling my friends, hey, we gave it a good try. Sorry, we didn't win. Like it was in my brain. I was already there. I was already drafting that in my mind of like how I'm going to write this out and thank everybody. Cause I had friends who, you know, they took the night off from work and they like had their whole family. Like it was people made it into a massive, like the Oscars. It was an event for a lot of my friends and family.
Yeah.
And I was feeling kind of bad. Cause I was like, yeah, I'm not going to win, but oh man, like I feel bad for these people who took the night off from work. And then he read off the name of the book and there was just this kind of stunned moment of pure disbelief that lasted for quite a long time, if I'm honest about it. Yeah, that whole night, I was just in shock for the rest of the evening. I was up to 2 a.m. texting people back and replying to congratulations and just being numb the whole time. And then the next morning when I woke up, the first thought that I had, it was so funny, the literal first thought I had when I woke up the next morning was, that was a cool dream. Now let's get back to reality and see what happens. And it was like, no, you actually did it. So
that's really cool. One of the things, and I hope this doesn't come off in any way as insulting, because I certainly it's the last thing in the world I mean. And tell me if I'm completely off base here, but I spend a lot of time with books. I have a show called The Book Show, so I spend a lot of time with books. And I'll admit, I was not aware of this novel until it got shortlisted for the National Book Award. It had not been widely reviewed in major publications. The Times didn't review it. The Post did, but the Times didn't. Even in their year-end list, it wasn't a part of that. And then I read it, and I thought, oh my God, this is one of the greatest novels I've ever read. And I thought to myself, so how does that happen where a book that wins the National Book Award seems like somehow it's been shortchanged?
I definitely know that doesn't. First of all, like, that definitely isn't insulting at all. I think that's a very honest assessment. But I also think that just reflects like there's a business side to publishing that all plays into certain things. Which is not to say that, like, you know, where you sign, like how things get marketed and promoted is what decides the success or failure of a novel. But it is a thing that has a lot of influence. And I also think that it is a book that people didn't really know what to do with on first kind of impulse. Like, because like as you said, like it's oftentimes a book that is very difficult to describe. I think it approaches readers from an angle that they're oftentimes not expecting. Because I remember when my agent and I were trying to find a home for it, we were shopping it around to publishers. A lot of publishers were passing on it that my agent had thought were going to be like just locked in. Like, of course, they're going to love the book. And they passed on it. And I asked her about that. I said, is there anything that you think is happening about what, you know, what's happening here? And she said the book is just too different. They don't know how to process it. She was kind of implying that, like, everyone says they want a different book until they actually get a different book. And then they don't know what to do with it. So I think there's some of that at play. I mean, not obviously not across the board. You know, Jenna Bush picked it as her book club pick. So, like, there were some people who were enjoying it, like, as soon as they met the book.
Right.
But I think there were others who it took them some time to really find out what the book was doing and to meet it on its own ground, so to speak.
So there's two things about that I find interesting and amusing, I will admit. There's a media trainer in the book, Jack, who is helping the author try to tell the story. And he says, write about love and Disney endings, not suffering, not oppression, not fear, not the slights of the past, imagined or documented, not disappointment, not death, never death, only love. Love is a form of absolution, if not expressed, then implied. So, again, it is a media trainer telling an author of what they should write, so it is more commercially successful. What's interesting in that is that this is a love story. It is a love story, but it's a very different than the conventional Disney love story.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes back to where I think it's a book that people didn't know how to describe succinctly and how to kind of interact with, because one of the funniest things that I've heard from people, from readers about the book, is that they felt like, oh, they got disheartened. Like, they expected a love story, and there's a character named Kelly who shows up, and right. like in everyone's mind, that was just going to be the, you know, they're going to get, things are going to work out. And I'm trying not to spoil anything. Like, in everyone's mind, that was the love story that we were talking about here. And then it turns out maybe that's actually not the love story that's being discussed here. And I have people who were kind of not angry, but who were just very like thrown a kilter by that. Like, they expected boy meets girl, boy loses a girl, boy finds girl again, things work out. And that wasn't quite the love story being told here. And I think people just, yeah, caught people off guard, I think.
I think that's interesting. I certainly understand that and how people could come to that conclusion. But by the same token, in reading the book, just a couple pages in, you're pretty sure that nothing is going to go the way you think it's going to go. I mean, I think you established that pretty early.
I definitely tried to. Because when I thought about the book, as far as like when I was building the book and I was talking to, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted the book to be, my goal was, I said, I want to create essentially a fun house, a place where the reader is constantly thrown for a loop and they're constantly wondering what's coming next, but they feel very guided as they're moved through this thing. Like, I want to be completely baffled by things at times, but still feel like they're being taken somewhere they're meant to be taken. So that was the goal. I hope that's what people kind of come to it and feel that when they're reading it.
A playhouse is a wonderful way. I also think, or a fun house, I also think that it's really interesting because you are so playful in the way that you tell the story. I've read books that try that sometimes, and it often comes off as annoying. You know, you're being manipulated, and you're like, all right, I'm done. Where this one, you're there because everyone is so really interesting and beautiful and has these amazing stories, and there's such empathy and love, and that is what grabs you. And the other thing about this book that I loved and just adored about it is, so often books told from multiple perspectives, you know, when you hit the one person that you don't really care about their perspective,
right.
It's like, oh, look, it's John's going to tell, oh, geez, I got to get through 18 pages of John. Every time you hit, like, good, we're getting back to this one. Oh, great, we're getting back to that one. And I love that because it's such a beautiful moment, because you get to spend more time and learn more about these people as the story builds, which I think as a writer must have been fun, as you said, to build and create.
Yeah, it was very fun to build and create. It was also very difficult. I think that was honestly one of the biggest challenges I had writing it. When I got to the point where I was, you know, close to quote unquote finished with it and ready to send it out to like friends, like beta readers, you know, friends that I trust in my early work, like the resounding feedback was, everyone said, they were in love with Soot. Like, everyone fell in love with Soot in such an overwhelming way that I wound up having to go back in and revise to make the character of the author and the kid. I had to make them bigger. I had to actually, like, they had to catch up to Soot's interesting level and Soot's kind of fascinating level that people were just connecting with. And that was actually one of the big challenges of writing this in late stage, was trying to have the other characters be as interesting and as endearing to the reader as Soot was. So it was very tough. It was very, very tough.
The other thing that amused me upon the success and the winning of the National Book Award is that here you are. The book came out in June. You described this at the beginning of our conversation, that you were on a 6 or 8 week book tour for the return, which led to the skeleton of this story. And now you're pretty much, I was just looking at your list of events. You're basically on book tour till 2023, I think.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You are not wrong at all.
But is that okay? That seems good, right?
It is good. Like, it is very good. It's interesting that irony is not lost on me. You know, the whole thing was me. You know, the book began as a joke of me just griping about being on book tour and trying to find a funny way to gripe about book tours. And then, you know, you get to the point now where, after being on lockdown for 2 years, you know, in quarantine, like, I want to see people again. Like, I want to go places again. So suddenly I am very much excited about book tour. Now, again, there's definitely a point of exhaustion and burnout, but I've gotten I'm a bit more practiced at this now than I was then, so I'm kind of spacing things out and scheduling things a little bit more loosely than I used to. Because book tours can swallow you up. Like, book tours are great until you get a burnout on them, and then they're not so much fun.
The author in the novel says at one point he doesn't even know what the book that he, which is also called Hell of a Book, doesn't even know what it's about. And did you struggle with that in describing it to people as you started publicity of, okay, this is what this is about, and this is what I was trying for?
Yes, trying to describe it to people was very challenging. My agent and I wound up going back and forth on that, trying to sort that question out a lot, because the simple explanation is there's an author on book tour and there's a police shooting and the two paths kind of meet. Like, that's a very oversimplified version of what this is actually about. And the book is trying to be about so many different things that trying to really whittle that down was very, very difficult. And still, honestly, if I'm honest about it, it is still difficult to talk to people sometimes about it, because I think you have to, you've got to read the book to get all the things, because the book hopefully discusses so many things that just narrowing it down to any one kind of event doesn't really do it justice, in my opinion. And of course, the funny thing about it is, as I was writing the book, I was really afraid that was going to torpedo the whole project. There was a point where I was talking to a friend as I was writing it, and I told her, I said, this book will never sell because I'm not sure. It's not about any one thing in the neat and tidy way that books are, that you need to be. Like, I can't elevator pitch this book very well. Mm-hmm. I said, the book is trying to do so many things and it's trying to talk about so many things that I can't give that 10-word summation of what the book's about just yet. It's really difficult. And then you fast forward and suddenly that becomes both the strength of the book and sometimes this kind of hindrance where certain reviewers and certain outlets, they can't pitch it in 30 seconds, and they feel like they don't want to read it. But then when people actually meet it, that scope becomes part of the fun of it, part of the enjoyment of it.
Right. And how lovely to read a book that can't be described in 10 words.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
good.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. It's the rare encounter that I think.
Imaginary friends, mental illness, alcoholism, deep grief, of course, police shootings, being black in America. There's so many aspects and things that you meditate on in the novel. And the other gorgeous thing, I think, in your writing and your great skill is that none of those issues are shortchanged. You may meditate on some longer than others, but they're never shortchanged. They're all taken very seriously in what is often a very, very funny book.
Thank you. That was the goal. Like, I didn't want to kind of zoom past any one particular thing. I felt like all the things I was trying to talk about were all of vital importance, and yet trying to do it in 300 pages of space was very challenging. So I'm glad to hear that people are able to find that, the discussions were never shortchanged. The discussions were actually meaty enough for them to really be important. So that's good. That's good to hear.
The name of the novel is Hell of a Book. It is published by Dutton. I wish you all the luck in the world and great congratulations on the success.
Terrific. Thank you very much. And thanks for reading. And I'm really glad you enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, we enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.